So Psalm 23 is perhaps the best known of the Psalms. It's an immensely comforting psalm. And I'll just read down to, well, the entire psalm is short, so I'm going to read the psalm itself. And it goes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me, before me, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So I'll just open with a short prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for your help in looking at scripture now, so that we may take the eternal truths they contain into our minds, into our hearts, and into our lives, today and every day, in Jesus' name, amen. So King David, when he wrote this, many believe he was in his mature years, or certainly an older king. And the reflective, retrospective nature of the psalm suggests a lifetime of experiencing God's protection and providence, possibly during his wilderness years, fleeing from King Saul, or even later into his reign. And after all, the boy David was a shepherd boy. So he understood the needs of sheep intimately. And so he saw the parallel between sheep in the real physical world and his needs in the spiritual world, which inspired this most well-known of Psalms. And Jesus too likened his people to sheep also for the same reason, because sheep are a powerful picture of human spiritual need. It's maybe not a flattering image in the natural sense, but it is a deeply tender one. Sheep are vulnerable, dependent, easily led, and in need of a shepherd. So I thought it would be interesting to spend some time considering the traits of sheep and how they actually align with ourselves. So as like sheep, we need a shepherd. Sheep are not self-sufficient animals. They need guidance, protection, feeding, and care. Jesus saw the crowds who gathered around him in exactly this way. In Matthew 9:36, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." This shows the first great human trait we share with sheep. Without the Lord, we are spiritually scattered and vulnerable, and we need Christ, not merely as a teacher, but as a shepherd. John 10 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And like sheep, we are prone to wander. One of the strongest biblical images of mankind is that we wander from God. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away. We have turned everyone in his own way." Peter applies this directly to believers when he said in 1 Peter 2:25, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." This is one of the clearest traits we share with sheep. We drift. We do not have to plan rebellion in order to get lost. We simply follow our own way, our own desires, our own understanding, and soon find ourselves far from God. As with sheep also, we recognize the shepherd's voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." This is one of the most beautiful traits. Christ's true sheep are not merely religious. They are marked by a spiritual ability to hear, recognize, and respond to his voice. That means they receive his word, trust his authority, and follow his leading. And Jesus also said, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." So the Christian life is not meant to be aimless. The shepherd speaks, calls, leads, and the sheep follow. Matthew 22:14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." That's a verse I used to have a little trouble understanding, until I pictured a large field full of sheep belonging to many shepherds. And just imagine Jesus coming to the gate and calling his sheep. Only his sheep will come to the gate. All the sheep in the field heard his voice, but only his sheep respond. And like sheep, we are vulnerable to predators. Sheep are not naturally strong defensive animals. They need protection from wolves, thieves, and hirelings. Jesus warned, "The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." And this connects strongly with the warnings of deception in the Olivet Discourse. The sheep of Christ are precious, but they are also targeted. False teachers, false prophets, worldly ideologies, spiritual deception, and the devil himself seek to scatter and devour. That is why the shepherd's protection is essential. John 10:28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Sheep are easily led for good or evil. Sheep follow. That can be a blessing when they follow the true shepherd, but dangerous when they follow the wrong voice. Jesus said of his sheep in John 10, "And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." This tells us that discernment is vital. A sheep's safety depends on knowing the difference between the shepherd's voice and the stranger's voice, which is also why it was vital that Christ sent the Holy Spirit soon after he left us, to give us knowledge, wisdom, and discernment. So the lesson is clear. The more familiar we are with Christ's word and prayer, the less likely we are to follow deception. Sheep need feeding. A shepherd feeds his sheep. Spiritually, this points to the word of God. Sound teaching, truth, and pastoral care. After his resurrection, Jesus told Peter 3 times, feed my lambs, in John 21. And this shows that Christ cares deeply that his people are spiritually nourished. A starving sheep becomes weak. A starving Christian becomes vulnerable to error, temptation, discouragement, and fear. Sheep are known personally by the shepherd. Jesus does not speak of his sheep as a faceless crowd. He says in John 10, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And it also says in John 10, he calleth his own sheep by name. This is deeply personal. Christ knows his people individually. He knows their weakness, their fears, their needs, their wounds, and their path. We are sheep, but we are not neglected sheep. We are known sheep. Sheep are safest when gathered together. A lone sheep is in danger. The biblical picture is not merely individual sheep, but a flock. Jesus said in John 10, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And this points to the work of Paul and the Gentiles, and the unity of Christ's people under one shepherd. Christians are not meant to live as isolated believers. We need fellowship, correction, encouragement, teaching, prayer, and mutual care. And also, sheep depend entirely on the shepherd's goodness. Psalm 23 gives the fullest Old Testament picture of this. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The sheep's confidence is not in itself. Its confidence is in the shepherd. The Lord provides green pastures, still waters, restoration, righteous paths, comfort in the valley, protection from enemies, and a final dwelling in his house. It's almost as if God created sheep as a very accurate representation of us. As sheep are in the real physical world, so we are in the spiritual world. But just to transition a little at this point, if you could turn to Matthew 24. Because what I want to look at now at the moment, having seen ourselves as sheep and how much we need our shepherd and clear guidance, I want to look at the question of deception. And it's ever more important in these days than it ever was before. So I'll read just a few verses from Matthew 24. I'll start with verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." The New Testament strongly presents deception as one of the defining marks of the end times. In fact, when Jesus was asked about the sign of his coming and the end of the age in Matthew 24, his first warning was not war, famine, earthquakes, or persecution. It was deception. Judging by what we just looked at as Christ's sheep, we need to be closer to our shepherd now, closer to the word and each other in these days. There's a warning of false Christs and false prophets as well in Matthew 24. In verse 23-24 it says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. This tells us that deception will not merely be intellectual, it will be religious, charismatic, and convincing. Jesus says false teachers and false messianic figures will come with apparent signs and wonders. That means the deception will be so powerful that, humanly speaking, even the believers, true believers, would be vulnerable. But God preserves them. Mark records the same thing. In Mark 13, it says, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." Jesus also says deception will be linked to lawlessness and cold love. Matthew 24:12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And we have seen in recent weeks the very worrying increase in street assaults in our country and indeed other close countries. Violence and some of this resulting in deaths. This suggests that the end times deception is not only false doctrine, but also moral and spiritual collapse. As lawlessness increases, love grows cold. People may still be religious, but their hearts become hardened, selfish, and spiritually numb. So the deception is going to include false religion, false messiahs, false prophecy, counterfeit miracles, moral lawlessness, spiritual coldness, and confusion about Christ's return. And Paul also warns of end times deceptions. 2 Thessalonians 2, "Let no man deceive you by any means," says Paul. He says there will be a falling away first, and the man of sin will be revealed. Paul also says the Antichrist figure will come with all power and signs and lying wonders. And that people will perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And then comes a terrifying statement in 2 Thessalonians 2:11. "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Paul points to the end times deception falls especially on those who reject the truth. The issue is not merely a lack of information. It is a refusal to love and receive the truth. Paul says people will prefer false teachers. Paul warns Timothy, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap on to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." This is a major end times theme. People will not necessarily abandon spirituality. Instead, they will choose teachers who tell them what they want to hear. Paul also says in 2 Timothy, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And Peter warns of false teachers inside the church. Peter says in 2 Peter 2, "There shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Peter's warning is that deception will not only come from the outside of Christianity, it would also arise within religious communities, using Christian language while corrupting Christian truth. John warns about antichrists and false spirits. In 1 John 2, he writes, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists." He also says in 1 John, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God." And the reason? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. John's emphasis is doctrinal. The central test is what people teach about Jesus Christ, his identity, incarnation, lordship, and truth. And Revelation tells us that deception will be global. In Revelation, deception becomes the beast deceives through power and blasphemy. The false prophet deceives through signs. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Later, Satan is described in Revelation as that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So Revelation presents Satan's final strategy as mass deception: religious, political, spiritual, and global. So the New Testament teaches that the end times will be marked by intense spiritual deception. The deception will involve false Christs, false prophets, counterfeit signs, false teaching, moral lawlessness, spiritual coldness and confusion about the return of Christ. The safeguard Jesus gives is not speculation, fear or date setting. It is watchfulness, endurance, discernment, love for the truth, and faithfulness to his word. So I thought it appropriate to link together both the message that we are sheep in great need of a good shepherd and deception in the end days. When it comes to spiritual deceptions, a general rule of thumb to always bear in mind is that if what we see and hear does not align with Scripture, then it is false, which itself highlights our great need to know Scripture, staying close to Christ and staying close to each other as fellow Christians. And also remember, the most successful deceptions come from so-called trusted sources. There is but one trusted source: the Word of God. So, Father, we give you thanks for your Son, our great Good Shepherd, who in John 6:39 said, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." As the days ahead grow darker, these words we believe, and they give us great comfort as we witness the way being prepared for the Antichrist. We pray to stay close to our Shepherd, and that the Holy Spirit grant us wisdom, knowledge, and discernment to know deception when we see it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.